Hello, I'm Dr. Richard Friend. Taking control of and improving your health requires the most relevant and timely health information available. And University Medical Center is here to help with facts and advice about important health topics that you care about. We know that your health matters. Welcome to the Health Matters Podcast with your host, Mike Royer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to Health Matters. Our program airs on WVUA television on the newscast. The entire interviews that we do are available on the WVUA 23 website and also on the website of the University Medical Center here at the University of Alabama. We welcome back to the program today Dr. Marissa Gigi. She is an associate professor of psychiatry and behavioral medicine in the College of Community Health Sciences at the University of Alabama, and she's been with us many times before. We appreciate her and her expertise. Good to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
In another program, we talked about children 12 and under and mental challenges they're facing. The more I talk to smart people like you, the more I'm thankful my boys are alive and well, drug-free, and adults, because the challenges today are different than 15 years ago when my boys were still at home. And the mental challenges are coming up more frequently and earlier, and you're dealing with all of those. And some of those are, if you don't mind finishing my thought there, what are some of the main issues that concern you today as a psychiatrist?
Well, for this age group, because we live in a much more complex world than we lived in 15 years ago,
yes.
The main issues that I see are problems with technology and being on social media devices and using social media as a way to communicate with young people. It can have good thing aspects to it, but also has a lot of negative aspects to it, with cyberbullying and sexting and early access and exposure to things that they probably shouldn't be exposed to. So devices and social media. The other big problem I've seen with this age group is an increase in addictive behaviors. Vaping is a problem with this age group, increased alcohol use, especially since COVID quarantine, where kids were at home alone, and it's increased anxiety and depression. And so a lot of these kids were at home unsupervised and using alcohol and drugs to self-medicate. So I've seen an increase in addictive behaviors. The other issue with this age group, especially with young girls and now more with boys, is, and this is related to the social media devices, is poor body image, because they see these images that are altered on social media devices and they think that their body doesn't compare. So they're not happy with what they see in themselves, because in adolescence, that's when they're developing their self-esteem and their identity, and they don't like what they see in the mirror. So trying to help young people be happy with who they see in the mirror and not compare themselves to some image that's been altered, you know, for social media.
Yeah.
So those are a lot of the issues that I'm running across. And then unfortunately, suicide attempts and self-injurious behaviors have increased. And we've seen more of those behaviors in issues in this age group.
Because of their inexperience, because of their immaturity, brains not totally developed as they will be as an adult, they're more impressionable and can be led down a dark road, can be hit upon literally by mm-hmm. predators online. Young people aren't mm-hmm. ready to deal with that.
Correct.
What do parents need to do? And I know it's easy for an old parent like me with adult children to go, parents, you got to be tougher. But Dr. Gigi says something very similar. Parents, you got to be tougher.
Right. And this is what I've been telling my parents and recommending, is that a young child's not ready for a supercomputer, which is a cell phone, because they're going to be onslaught with things they shouldn't be seeing at such a young age. And I think it really is up to each individual parent to decide when their child is ready. But I generally recommend around 14 to be the time when they start allowing their child to have access to a cell phone with supervision. And then, of course, you want to make sure that your child has the appropriate self-control and understanding of what's appropriate and what's not. And then as they get older, you want to give them more independence, because what you don't want to happen is that you're so controlling when they're with you that when they leave the home, or if they go to college or wherever, that they go crazy on it. So you want to give them slowly, like any other kind of responsibility, that initial supervision, but slowly giving them more and more freedom to be able to manage in this complex world that we live in.
So what would you say to the parent who says, Dr. Gigi, we don't have a problem with cell phones at our house because we've set up parental controls on the phone, so my child cannot go to anything inappropriate. Your answer to that?
Well, they're sneaking around and getting around it. And what happens is predators and drug dealers have emojis and symbols on the internet in these apps that they change all the time that look innocuous. Okay, so they may look like something that is safe, that may look like an image that you wouldn't think would be something dangerous, and that's how they're accessing children. So they're getting around it.
Are you dealing with, I hope the answer to this is no, but I'm afraid the answer is yes. You're dealing with young people in this age group who are on a path, if not corrected, could go down a road towards suicide.
Absolutely. It's really scary because there are websites and apps of kids who cut and have planned to have suicidal attempts, and they form these communities and they reinforce that behavior. Also, cyberbullying and public shaming can increase that, because for this age group, their peers are more important to them than their parents. I mean, their parents are still important, but they tend to relate more with their peers, as we know. And so when they feel shamed or rejected or inadequate, it's unfortunately a risk. So we have to be very aware of that as physicians, as parents, as a community, that these things can really be hurtful for children and adolescents.
I remember laying awake at night worried in the 60s about the Cuban Missile Crisis or the nuclear bomb. They'd make us practice getting under our desk at school, like being under the desk was going to matter if you got hit by a nuclear bomb. That pales in comparison to the volume of things that teenagers are bombarded with every day.
Right, right.
And so what do you do when you talk to a young person that you know is in dealing with all of this? How do you begin to get them back to being smarter and being more careful? What do you do?
Well, that's a hard question to answer because they're very attached to their cell phones and to their devices. So that's where I think it's a combination of parental or whoever their guardian is, oversight, making sure that the child or the adolescent is able to handle the content. And if not, then it's the parent's role to step in to put limits. Also, I think having a set bedtime, one of the things I recommend is having check-in with the cell phone before bed, almost like when you go to school and you put your cell phone in a basket. And then there are also contracts for social media devices and technology that parents can have and set up with their children and adolescents. You can say, hey, you know what? This is the amount of time we're going to allow you to be on your device. You can have a contract.
Yes.
And if you do a certain amount, if you do okay in school, if you meet these guidelines and meet these rules, then I will allow you to have this much time on the cell phone with parental controls. So I'd say checking in your phone at night before you go to bed, because it's not good for sleep. And then having a social media contract with your child.
It's easy for us to talk about teenagers, point fingers at them, they spend too much time on their phones, but so do we sometimes.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
My wife and I will be in the room watching TV and we'll both be on our phone, and one of us will speak up and go, let's put our phones down. Let's shut the TV off and talk for a little while. You'd like to see teenagers do that.
Right, and you bring up a really good point. We have to model good behavior for our children. So if we're doing it, it's going to be hard for us to tell our children and adolescents not to do it.
Let's end with this, Dr. Gigi. Not everyone can come see you. Not everyone can bring their child to you for a variety of reasons. Some may be watching this very far away from us. What's the first thing a parent should do if they're concerned that their child is having some mental challenges because of devices or because of life in general? What's the first thing a parent ought to do to get help?
I would go to their primary care physician, either their family physician or their pediatrician, and then start from there, because they have some training in mental health assessments, and then they would know where to refer their child to if they needed further referral. So that's where I would start.
A good general practice physician knows good psychiatrists like you and can refer easily, right?
Correct.
I always enjoy talking to you. You teach us stuff. You're pleasant to talk to, and we appreciate your expertise. Thank you, Dr. Gigi.
Oh, my pleasure.
To learn more from us about these and other important health topics, visit cchs.ua.edu. And for all your primary health care needs, visit University Medical Center, with locations in Tuscaloosa, Northport, Demopolis, Fayette, and Carrollton. Thanks for listening.